Hello and welcome back to the Humanity Podcast. I am your host, Michael McPherson, and I'm here with my beloved, once again, Mackenzie Marsloff. You want to say hi?
Hi. Thank you for having me.
So we have got some epic content lined up for you today, specifically around divine union and the sacred couple. But before we get into it, are there any updates that you want to share with the audience?
Yes. I wanted to let everybody know about an amazing podcast episode, the best podcast episode I've ever heard in my life. And it's Michael McPherson on the De Luna podcast, which is actually a human design podcast hosted by two beautiful sisters of ours named Shayna and Dana.
And it's nice that it rhymes. It helps.
Yeah. And Michael has done a good amount of interviews on podcasts, but this was the most incredible because the way that he conveyed the message was just so clear, spot on, and I like cried in the first 10 minutes two times because my heart was blasted open. So I just really wanted to share that because I really feel like everyone should listen to it. Mm-hmm. And it's a great one to share too because Shayna and Dana asked really good questions and I feel like it's just a great starting place for someone or anyone in regards to this topic around sacred sexuality and all the other things you talked about. So like you already know I've been gushing over this episode.
Yeah, you've been so sweet.
But I'm going to put it in the show notes so that everyone can go check it out.
A funny thing about me is I refuse to listen to myself on previous podcasts that I've been on.
Yeah.
I like literally can't listen to my voice. There's something about it. I'm just like, no, turn it off. So when Mackenzie is listening to podcasts that I've been on in the house when we're together, I will ask her to turn it off.
No, literally. So that I don't have to hear it. I'll have to like pause it. You don't even listen to these.
That's right.
You won't even listen back, which is why now I take notes because neither of us really like to listen back.
I think my mind gets too involved, you know?
Yeah.
And then all my judgments and opinions and what I could have said differently, could have said better, you know, which is only there for me and not there for anyone else, but still.
For sure.
I'd rather just not go through that process.
Yeah.
What else do you want to share? I feel like we've got this trip coming up tomorrow, and it's super special and super sacred, and I feel like you should mic drop a little something about what this trip is about.
Really? Yeah. What if you did it?
I mean, just a tiny little bit. Just give him a smidge pinch.
We're leaving tomorrow to go to Bend, Oregon. I've never been there. Michael apparently has been there while he was in the womb of his mother.
I just found that out a couple days ago. I called my dad for Father's Day, and he's like, you've actually been to Bend before. And I was like, what? Really? Wow.
I'm really excited. We're going for a couple of weeks, and we do get to see some soul family, as well as my Aunt Amy. But the intention for the trip is to explore a potential, like to explore the energetics of Bend to see if it's a match to the entity that's coming through us called Request Bar.
Ooh.
And Request Bar has been... Well, he presented himself to me, the entity. It's a masculine entity. It presented itself to me in 2016. So just the downloads and it's all been dripping in. And recently I got permission from him to move the ball forward, which tells me a lot about where we're at on a consciousness scale.
Collectively, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To know that he's a yes to coming right now, it tells me that the world is ready. And if the world is ready for this, like, that's a big deal.
Yeah, we're moving faster than we expected.
Much faster. So, yeah, that's all I'll say about that because I want everyone here to receive that, you know, the world might look like it's in chaos and a lot is getting shaken up, shook up. Mm-hmm. How do you say that? But Steve Nobel, he's a cool guy on YouTube. He does amazing transmissions, but his email newsletter said it perfectly yesterday. He was like, there are darker beings that are manipulating the world events and orchestrating them to create more chaos in order to divide us and then therefore ultimately create a one world order. But what Steve was saying is that that's actually not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it's just waking us all up And we're using all of the things to our advantage in service to the light. And so anyone that desires to explore 3D reality will literally have to go to another planet because there are other planets and dimensions that have 3D realities right now. So for anyone that's like ready to go 5D and beyond, just stay here because we're going there no matter what. So that's refreshing. And
I think that's the great cosmic joke right now.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, we all feel like we're all in the middle of this great battle, right? And not to say that there's not a battle or hasn't been an ongoing battle, but the forces, the dark forces that you mentioned that are basically using every last ditch effort they can to maintain control are actually causing our awakening. So
yes.
They think they're serving themselves by maintaining the power or, you know, manipulating the minds of human beings. But really what they're doing, what they're deploying is actually causing our awakening. So
yeah.
No going back, right?
No going back. And because we have been awakening for a while, we're seeing the darkness come to light and we're literally walking it into the light. So it's like the more that this kind of purges up and out, we're like, oh, as light workers, we're like, oh, perfect. Let me take that, shift that to light and love and step even deeper into my service, which is then again, only reinforcing the light. So the light is winning. The light will win. And like I always say, love will win.
Last thing I want to say before we jump in. We've already jumped in, obviously. But Request Bar is all about doing what scares the shit out of you.
Ooh.
And remembering to dream again.
Yeah.
You're safe to dream again.
That's cool.
So that's it. We'll put that in a box. Set it aside for now.
That's funny.
And we'll go into what we're here to share today, which is Sunday service.
Love that.
So can you give people a brief description from your own perspective of what Sunday service is to you?
Sure. Well, Sunday service is something that Michael and I do every Sunday, and it's specifically for nurturing our union and really utilizing a sacred space every Sunday to come together to connect on any feelings that may have arisen out of the last week or any requests that came to mind, just anything that needs to be communicated so that it doesn't get brushed under the rug. And we're going to go through the specifics, but essentially Sunday service is a place for real accountability for our own feelings and vulnerability, you know, to bring them forward, but also a space for us to acknowledge each other and celebrate each other. And that's really special because sometimes when you're in union and you're together all the time, or you're just, you know, in the busyness of life, you forget to stop and really acknowledge your partner. So for us, it's been really nice and healing and special to actually stop and really reflect on what we see in the other person, what we've seen them step into, grow into, and what we're grateful for in them and how we want to honor them, which is awesome. And then we end up setting our intentions for the week and we really tune in to like, how am I calling myself forward this week? And I'm going to say that out loud so that Michael, in this case, can hold me accountable. And we create words and intention statements, which we'll go into. And then lastly, like a big part of our union is contribution and service. So we're really curious always, like, how can we contribute? And I teach this to myself and to my team members, my employees. I always lead with what, like, how are you contributing to the space that you show up in? And so Michael and I decided to apply that to our relationship. And we ask certain questions that we'll get into, but it's really a checkpoint for each other of how we are contributing overall. And then we also will hash out some masculine stuff, like schedule. What is our schedule for the week? Anything that we should be aware of. So for instance, if I tell Michael, like, I have a really busy week coming up, especially on this day and this day, he can just keep that in mind because we work together in the same house. So it just, it's something, it's good for him to be aware of. But we also set aside time and actually schedule in which times are we going to be intentionally connecting. Mm-hmm. And that can look like lovemaking, going out in nature together, doing something creative, having a heart-to-heart or a cacao ceremony. Like what times and days are we putting on the calendar as intentional time? And so even though we're together all the time, it's like if we are driving in the car and we're going to the beach and we haven't intended to make that intentional conscious time, it could look like for another couple, you know, being in the car, being on your phone, just doing whatever, bullshitting about whatever was on the news, and just you get to the beach and you're like, oh, okay, we're here. But now that we'll say this is intentional time together, we'll lean in differently. Mm-hmm. We'll look at each other differently and we'll ask different questions. Mm-hmm. So that's really nice. But that was a general overview.
That was very good. I appreciate you offering that because I don't think I would have been able to offer it that way. And I just want to emphasize that you and I have a really unique lifestyle together.
Yeah.
We both work from home. So therefore, we are home together all throughout the day, all throughout the week, most of the month. Especially during COVID, we've been home together a lot.
Yeah.
But I will say that doesn't necessarily mean that we're always interacting. We have a lot of touch points throughout the day, moments where our paths are crossing. We're acknowledging each other. We're seeing each other. We're doing something cute. We're kissing, being affectionate, doing a brief catch up before we both go into the next thing, right? Mm-hmm. But this structure, Sunday service, holds us accountable to something more. It's a place for us to really drop in together and do the deeper excavating that we couldn't necessarily do throughout the week because we're moving in between things. So it's really served us in that way. And I also want to just emphasize something that you said that I think is so valuable for people to get, which is you and I are in union because the way that we can be of service together is far greater than the way that we could be of service to the world as individuals. And that's a powerful come from when you're in union, to be continually focusing on, it's actually our shared aura, it's actually our union that we've created together that is being of service to the planet. And now everything that we're doing outside of this is kind of funneling through our union, right? So two really powerful things.
Yeah.
So tell the audience a little bit about how we even discovered Sunday service or decided that it was something that we were going to do.
Do you want to tell them?
No, I want you to start. Okay. Interviewing you today.
Okay. Well, with COVID, which started for us probably like in February, even for us to not like go out of the house to work out or exercise, like Michael, you couldn't go to the gym anymore and we couldn't even go to the beach. Mm-hmm. Everything was closed. So we were inside so much. And what was interesting about COVID, I think for many people, but definitely for us, is there were little like patterns or even old behaviors or just little kind of cop outs or something that would show up. And we would notice it more. So one of the first things was Netflix. Mm. Like, okay, well, we worked, but we can't really go anywhere. So we would just watch Netflix and I don't know, that could have been for a week, 2 weeks. And then we realized that's actually not the best use of our time. Mm. Because we could be reading or just sleeping. Like, honestly, when you're watching, we realize when you're watching something, you stay up far later than what you would naturally fall asleep in. And we got really interested in EMFs and protecting ourselves. So we just said, we're going to do Netflix-free quarantine. So we wiped that and even canceled our Netflix account, all of the things. That felt really good. But then there was like all these rabbit holes for us to go down, like with as COVID progressed and then all the different things. We're both very interested in conspiracy theories, and that's just something that about us, like we can really go down that rabbit hole, and it's fun and playful for us. And we were exposed to some really heavy shit. Thankfully, like our friends passed along some information, and it really did kind of spark this rabbit hole discovery, mm-hmm. which I think was necessary for us. However, overall, it was like, it was like, we were like, well, everything will return to normal, and then we will pick up on our union. Then we will pick up on our work. Then we will pick up on moving forward, expanding our lives, growing, all mm-hmm. of that. Mm-hmm. And so there was that energy, and you invited me into, we need to adjust. We need to pretend like this is never changing. Like we need to pretend that this is actually our new life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need to adapt to our new life.
Yes. Rather than like, oh, maybe next week we'll be able to go to the beach, or maybe like, what if we just pretend that we never can again? How would we show up in that space? And there were some things that were personally building for me that I really wanted to communicate to Michael, but I didn't know how. And I know that this happens for both of us in the relationship if we're not consistently communicating intentionally. Mm. And what I realized is rather than having these things build up and then having to have this like huge conversation or blow up, what if we were more preventative about it? And what if we set this aside every single Sunday, even when we think we don't have anything to address, mm-hmm. but we just committed to it? And what would that create? So I feel like there's parts of the story that you could fill in.
Yeah, my experience was all of what you shared. And additionally, I noticed some addictive tendencies,
yeah,
which were more along the lines of our relationship to technology. Mm-hmm. And if there isn't anything to do, quote unquote, on our to-do list or work-wise, how we are behaving, which at times for us, it looked like, just like you said, going down the rabbit hole of videos, information, websites, but it didn't matter what we were looking at. The fact was we were looking at it on our computer screens, we were looking at it on our cell phones, and we were kind of glued to them for a while. Mm. And that, combined with not necessarily being able to go out into nature in the same way that we used to, was really taking a toll on our nervous system. You know, and we live in nature, so we can honestly go outside and put our feet on the ground, yeah, if we want to, but we weren't doing that, mm-hmm, right? So we needed to make an adjustment, and you came up with the structure for Sunday service and offered it as a template of something that we could do together in a sacred space, which my point of sharing us living together before is you might think just because we live together that we're spending all our time together, or we're always interacting, or we're always having conversations, and that's not necessarily true. Even when you live and work beside your beloved, you still need to be intentional about your levels of connection, your levels co-creating intimacy.
Yes.
You know, some of it happens naturally, and some of it has to be caused by either one of us or both of us. Mm-hmm. So we realized that we were skating a little bit. Like we were, like you said, waiting for the time to be over so that we could return to our normal routines, because our normal routines were working for us. But it didn't, at one point, it just didn't ever seem like we were going to return to our normal routines. And gratefully, there's a lot to be grateful for there. So this was our opportunity to say, hey, this isn't really going to change in the foreseeable future. So let's make sure that we're still nurturing, yeah, what allows us to then step out into the world and serve the way that we do, which is our union, which is our love. Because you and I both know when things aren't flowing here at home between you and I, they're typically not flowing as well in our work and service and our interactions with other people, right? Mm. We need to feel really solid at home,
yeah,
between each other. And that's like our foundation that we stand on for our service in the world.
Yeah. And even ourselves, you know, like we have to be at home with ourselves and there, you know, and like there's that, that's where discipline comes in. And discipline is very, it's beautiful. It's necessary for anyone, whether you're in union or not, to have that space for yourself on a weekly basis, at least to check in. What am I really holding myself to? And I have very high expectations of myself and of my family. So,
and of your beloved.
Yes. Well, you're my family. So that's what I was kind of feeling into is, you know, how can we like leverage this connection and this partnership to hold ourselves accountable to what we're growing into as individuals and hold the union accountable to what we claim is our mission statement. Like, while we don't have like a specific like Mackenzie and Michael's mission is blank, we have written out our agreements and our sacred contract and our vows essentially. And so to kind of come back to those and say, where are we at with that? And then how can we attune to it every single week? And what I was feeling as a woman is this, I was visualizing our family expanding, you know, and eventually having children. And just thinking, wow, this is only going to, I'm not going to say it's going to get harder with children. It's just going to add another layer of complexity. So why not set this foundation now?
Beautiful.
So that by the time we do have children, this is already here for us as a couple, and we can invite them into it when they're of the age. But to even have them be able to witness that or be around it as they're growing up, I think will be so profound to be witnessing. Because those conversations that happen in Sunday service are like, we're very honest with each other. And we definitely have been, you know, we've done a lot of work with the help of a lot of divine forces and other people and the plants and teachings and readings, all the things. So with that, we know we can bring really big stuff forward into the space and be very authentic. It, inherently, it's still nerve-wracking, but the more we go, the more comfortable we become like bringing big things to each other because we trust each other to hold ourselves. So that space is just a place for you to do it because it's also like a ceremony. That's the other thing I was going to say about Sunday service. It's, we really are intentional. Like we'll make cacao or maybe what we do is we'll make cacao and we'll go into our separate spaces and go through what we've written down as Sunday service and we'll write it out for ourselves and we'll really take time to reflect and come into our hearts and just set everything else aside and just focus on this. And then we come together in the ceremony room face to face and we read it to each other and we go through it. So, yeah. And we are going to share in the show notes specifically what we do in addition to us verbally sharing it.
Well, let's go into it now. Let's go into the structure of Sunday service so that people can get a feel for what this actually is.
Yeah. And as we do that, ask yourself, whether it's today you're in union or in the future you're in union, ask yourself, am I saying everything? Am I sharing everything? Because there's a lot that I think gets brushed under the rug in the midst of busyness and pursuing the American dream for some, but that's global, like this rat race, that the sacred union has been lost. So our intention in sharing this is to restore that and contribute to the restoration of the sacred union that, that really comes first in the family. It comes before the children. It comes, you know, of course, like for us, spirit is first, but our union is right there after, after our relationship to ourselves. And then from there, like Michael said, the businesses can flourish, the children, future children can flourish, like, but we have to have that sacred union foundation.
Yeah. Well, the only other thing I want to add to that is, so we're bringing things forward with each other in this space, but we're also creating the future. So it's two parts. We're cleansing, purifying, releasing, letting go, healing anything that might still be in our space from the week prior. But then we're also creating with our language, which with our love, what this next week is going to be for us and through setting our intentions. So let's go through the structure.
Yeah.
So what do we start with?
Well, we start with listing our core values. And the reason why I'm obsessed with the word core values, or the phrase. And my core values are always changing. And if I share with someone what my core value is at the moment, they're going to learn so much about me. So I thought, why not share with Michael what I really value right now, which literally is changing all the time.
Yeah.
But if I share with him what I really value right now, then he's, that's going to help him. Like how does that actually? You share with them what it means to you.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'll just get right on the court. So my core values for this week were and are momentum and creativity. So in sharing that with Mackenzie, I'm letting her know that there's a lot going on right now in terms of the launch of our book. We've been recording a lot of podcasts, sharing our light on different platforms. And I want to continue to forward my work in the world. I want to continue to build momentum where it's easier and easier for me to share my message, share myself, be on public platforms and not have it feel so scary. Have more precision with my words to be able to share the message more accurately. And I want to build this momentum like we're moving in the direction of how big this is, right?
Yeah.
It's, you know, once you get to the point where you're in momentum, it's like nothing can stop you, right? So I want to, as we edge up to the book launch, which is going to be sometime likely in October, maybe early October, by the time it launches, my intention is to be in a place of such momentum where it's like, I'm ready to take on the world. Yeah. You want to do that? Let's do that. Okay. You want to go this direction? Let's do that. And then creativity to be able to continue to channel my sex energy in a constructive way to continue to find outlets that are not sexual, because obviously you and I can't be having sex all the time. We wouldn't get anything done in the world, right? Yeah. To move my creative life force in a way that's being of service to love, that's shining more light in the world. And for me, that can look like recording podcasts like we're doing today. It can look like recording podcasts on other people's platforms. It can look like writing blog posts. It can look like contributing to one of the four other books that I have in the works right now that I can't figure out which one's going to be next, you know? So to continue to keep that creativity moving, and also physical movement too. That's a really powerful way that I keep my creative energy moving is through moving my body. So to keep it moving again, to stay in momentum.
And so when he shares those things, what it does is it gives me context for how I can support him this week. And, you know, if I know that those are his core values this week, I'm probably... I don't know. I'm trying to think of an example. I'm not going to distract him from that. And pull him out of that to nurture something else or another part of our life. When I know that, hey, that's really sacred and you absolutely deserve to claim that for yourself and to give yourself to that. And so giving him that space. Yeah, that's good. And yeah. I can hold him accountable.
Totally. If I'm slacking off or spending too much time outside in my garden, you're like, yo.
No, that's a good thing.
I'm just kidding.
That's an inside joke.
Okay, so we start with our core values, which basically we just list as words, and then we add our own description to that. So what's next?
The next thing after listing our core values for the week is the acknowledgments of our partner. So again, in the reflection time, we'll write those out and we'll really reflect on what occurred this week. What did I really see in him? What did I maybe not say? And just write those all out. And that's really nice because I always find things like, I'm like, oh yeah, and then there was that, and then there was that, and there was that. Do you want to tell them that funny story about your memory? That was funny.
Yeah, so we're basically from where we are on this Sunday, we're going back through the previous week and we're looking for all the different things that we can acknowledge each other for. Mm. So what we did, how we showed up, who we were being, the whole thing. And like Mackenzie said, the more you go into it, the more you can actually find. So this can sometimes be the longest part of Sunday service, which is beautiful because it feels really good to come together and be seen by your partner through acknowledgement. And for me, sometimes I mean, it's happened to me a couple of times now where I'll literally forget. It's almost like I can't go back in time for some reason. I can't even remember what we did the previous week. And I don't know why that happens to me, but a funny little joke is sometimes I've had to have Mackenzie help me remember mm-hmm. what there is for me to acknowledge her for. But without that pause, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have the opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's either I'm so forward thinking and moving into the future, or I'm so here right now that I'm not reflecting on the past. So
yeah.
There would be opportunities that I would miss to acknowledge you for really important and beautiful things.
Same. Yeah. Yeah. And that was hilarious to me actually. And it was like, what was cool for me to experience in that is that I was able to like literally list all the things. You yeah. were like, he had his pen and paper. He's like, so what am I acknowledging you for? And I was like, oh, you're acknowledging me for this, 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 and this. And that yeah. really showed me where I'm at on my self-love meter.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, cool. Because I had acknowledged myself already, which
is. It was actually empowering for me too. I didn't feel disempowered that you had to tell me. I was like, it sparked the memory. And then I was like, oh yeah.
Yeah. He'd be like, yeah, oh yeah, that was yeah. so cool.
And then I'd make it my own, you know, and acknowledge you from how it actually, I actually experienced it. So.
And let's actually share with them something you do really well. And you've taught me, when it comes to acknowledging your partner, everyone has a different love language. Okay. And there are 5 love languages. We won't share about those. Most people know about them, but I will put it in the show notes because if you have a partnership and you haven't done the 5 love languages quiz, that's a really good one. But Michael knows that my love language is words of affirmation mm-hmm. and his love language is physical touch. And I've never heard a man who didn't have that as their love language, by the way. So that's really funny. But basically, there have been times in the past where I have like forgotten to acknowledge Michael and he has literally come to me and been like, I would like to be acknowledged right now. And that was so empowering to me. And so like, I loved that. And now I will say it to you. I'll mm-hmm. be like, I would like to be acknowledged right now. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's not like, I mean, there's definitely the come from of the inner child or the wound where I am so guilty of this, like really guilty of being like, like you didn't acknowledge me, like what's wrong, you know. So
that's a really good recreation. I love that. Oh my gosh.
But then when he kind of said that for himself of like, I would like to be acknowledged right now, that empowered me to be like, oh wow, I can literally ask for what I need. He's not gonna know, like he can't read my mind. Every woman knows that, but they need to be reminded of it at times, or every person really. It's not woman or man thing.
Well, what was actually happening was I was showing my affection and love for you through touch. I was being
yeah.
affectionate with you. I was putting my hands on you. I was kissing you close to your body. And so my experience was that I was showing you love.
Yeah.
But because your love language is different, you weren't necessarily receiving it.
Right.
Because that's not how you receive love. So we, in the beginning of our relationship especially, we had this
lots of learning, yeah.
dynamic that really wasn't working. And then you would say that you didn't feel loved. And then I would feel defeated because I'm like, well, how is that possible? I must not be doing something right. What's wrong with me?
Yeah.
You know, so it's a really simple solution now yeah. to be able to acknowledge the way that we receive love.
Just asking for what you need is mm-hmm. a simple solution, which you do have to set your own victimhood aside. And you have to do the work, bring love to the things that need mm-hmm. healing in your inner child. But once you do that, and you can hold your own wound, which is a whole other topic.
Yeah, we're going to do another podcast on that.
Yes. With Alexis. Mm-hmm. Cool. So yeah, but basically the next thing after the acknowledgments, the next section of Sunday service is where you share any deep-seated feelings, desires, requests, or even fears that may have surfaced in the past. basically, this is another way of saying, what is on your heart?
Mm.
And so you have to take that time, reflect yourself, what is really on your heart, especially as it pertains to your partnership. However, I use that as an opportunity to share with Michael, like, some deeper things that I may be feeling into or experiencing as a woman, because I'm very, like, multidimensional.
You're super deep.
So I'll typically come forward with something, be like, here's where I am, here's what I'm hesitant about in the week, I have a little bit of fear around this, and you're like, oh wow, like, I didn't even know.
Can you give them an on the court example?
Just do you remember for this week? Oh, this week one was like, yeah, like, okay, well, in addition, we had read a really beautiful coming together this week. So when it came to Sunday service, I didn't have a lot to share with Michael because I had been so open and communicated throughout the week, and he had done the same. So, like, we had had this really beautiful experience of coming together and discovering, like, how can we work together in a more productive way where you don't feel dominated or controlled and where I feel received and acknowledged. Mm-hmm. So, like, that was a huge thing, which has been a culmination of 3 years.
Basically, just wanting to have more fun together, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. So we worked on that this week, but by the time we got to Sunday service, when I was like, what's on my heart? It was like, well, I want you to know that I have a little bit of hesitancy going into this week and focusing on request bar because I am scared that I'm abandoning my other entity, like Delighted By, and I'm nervous about blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so I just got to, like, that's not even there for me right now,
right?
Because I got to acknowledge that,
yeah,
and say it out loud, and we worked through it.
A lot of times it does just that. It just gets it out of the way.
Yeah.
You say it and it's like, you got to express your emotions. You got to acknowledge your monkey mind. And then.
Yes, yes.
Then we get into the week and it's not even there anymore. Of course, you did have
exactly. Healing session with Joy Lindholm.
Who's amazing.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll put her in the show notes too. But basically, Joy Lindholm, she reads Akashic. She'll open your Akashic records. And she works with your guides. It's really powerful. Okay, but literally back to the partnership conversation, back to the union, when we were talking about love languages and that the simple solution is asking for what you need, this is what so many couples don't do. And I know that from experience. We just didn't, it did not click that, like, I can literally say what it is that I desire.
Mm-hmm.
Our desires are, like, so sacred. And I think especially when you're in the spiritual world, you think, like, oh, well, if I have that desire, that's on me to give to myself, and I'll just, like, kind of pull back and not put that on him. However, there's actually another way to go about it. Yes, do the work. Yes, reflect. Yes, like, become whole and complete in yourself. Then still bring it forward and say, from your whole and complete space, there is something I'm desiring in this relationship. And that can be sex or sexually, financially, relationally, communication, intimacy, creatively. It can be, like, anything that you desire to level up in your relationship that doesn't feel like it's necessarily there yet. You can bring that forward. And there are two parts. You can still take responsibility for something while sharing with your partner, this is what you would like.
Yeah. 100%. My desire this week was to make love.
Yeah.
Because you're just coming off your moon cycle and we haven't made love in about a week. And for me, when we go a certain amount of time without being physical, being intimate physically, my body actually, I notice the tension in my body. Even my heart can start to close off a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's just like a natural phenomenon that we've both been able to identify within me that really gets worked out through our lovemaking. So that initial, like, time we make love after your moon is so important because, again, even if we were to use the term momentum, it gets us back into the momentum of our union, right?
Yeah, the physical body just, it needs to adjust again.
It needs its own nourishment.
Yeah. And I know some people still engage in that while the woman is on her moon, but personally, I just don't love it. It's not, like, the most sanitary thing. Specifically, which you can, like, read all about that if you want to, and it's personal preference. So what really it is beyond that, though, is like Michael is so good about respecting my sacred space as a woman. He genuinely, like, I've even offered before because I know how, you know, going a whole week without having that intimate space can be challenging, but I've offered it and he's like, no, like I really feel like that's your sacred space. This is a time for you to be inward, you to be with you. Mm-hmm. And so he just honors that so deeply. So thank you.
You're welcome.
I love it. Anything else that you want to say about bringing forward feelings, desires, requests?
No.
Okay, great. Actually, there was one more thing. So he mentioned what his request was is to make love, which typically when we go into our schedule and the scheduling aspect of Sunday service, mm-hmm. while we don't necessarily set an exact time to make love anymore because it's a little rigid, mm-hmm. we do typically, if I'm not on my moon, like aim, we'll literally say like 3 times a week to have an intimate space. And mm-hmm. even if that doesn't mean penetration or whatever, mm-hmm. but like that is something we really value and we see as like a non-negotiable, like that's something we prioritize and value.
Yeah. It used to be like Tuesday afternoon at 12 PM, we're going to be making love and we would really stick to our strategic schedule. And I feel like now we're able to identify a day like, okay, on Wednesday in the afternoon, we're going to have intimate time together. And like Mackenzie said, that can look like lovemaking mm-hmm. or it can look like something else.
Yeah, because it's kind of in the moment, like where is your body at?
Right.
You never know what's happened that day. And so the reason why we had set it on the schedule before is because personally for me, I needed that accountability. Mm-hmm. And it was because I was in a time of my life that was so busy with work. And because it was a very masculine expression in my work at that time, mm-hmm. I really needed time to transition into a softer feminine space. So for me, if I knew that it was on the calendar, which was recommended to us by our friend Joy, different Joy, I would be able to set time before that for myself to soften, relax, like do my movements, my breath, and center.
Yeah.
And now, as I've come more into my feminine, I'm much more open to going into that space whenever. Mm-hmm. So it's just different now, thankfully. And if you're in a space as a couple where you have a really busy life, you have children, whatever, don't hesitate to schedule it.
You better schedule it or it ain't going to happen.
Right. And it's not like you shouldn't feel any shame around that of having to schedule it for accountability because, again, discipline allows that love to flourish inside of it.
Yeah, I felt really awkward about it when we initially started scheduling. I know you did. Because I was like, we shouldn't have to do that, right?
Right.
I was implying that it meant something about our relationship that we were even having to schedule lovemaking in the first place, right?
Right.
Which it was really just the opposite. It's like if you're anyone that's up to anything in the world and you have a schedule, which almost everyone does, then if you don't prioritize lovemaking and make time for it, it's probably not going to happen mm-hmm. because there are lots of other things that can fill that space. Yeah. So when I took it on like, oh, we're just emphasizing as a couple that this is important to us.
Yes.
It's a non-negotiable.
Yes.
Then it was like, oh, well, how many times can we schedule it?
Yeah. In 1 week, yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And how much time do we need?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that you switched that. Because what I was going to say is that it's one thing to be in your 20s or, you know, like college years and beyond, like, you know.
Us old timers. This is,
I know, we're not that much older than that. But it's just like to be in your 20s and not have a ton of responsibility. Maybe some responsibilities, but not like responsible to doing your part in raising the collective consciousness
or your employees or your investors or
yeah, right. Exactly.
All everyone else that you're doing business with
big responsibilities. It's different, you know, like when you're in the, I think you were like, no, like this should just spontaneously come together. And I was like, yeah, in an ideal world. And We're just in a different time of our life.
Well, here's a key that I want to just offer, because it actually worked out that the scheduling and putting the structure in place allowed for more fluidity in the expression of our lovemaking. So it actually increased the spontaneity of our lovemaking. So not only were we meeting for our design time or the times we had set to meet, but we were also having, because we were nurturing that part of our union, that energy was already there between us. That intimacy was already there between us. That sexual connection and fire was already there between us. So we ended up having more spontaneous lovemaking than we had otherwise. So that really worked in my favor as well.
I'm glad we'll be putting this in the notes, because we are going off on tangents that I really like. I think this is good that we are going on the tangents, because this is an important topic. Even to schedule lovemaking or to know that you're going to be making love, you think, oh, well, maybe I wouldn't eat that beforehand. And of course, ideally, we'd be these like super perfect divine beings that are just always eating raw fruits and vegetables. And personally, Michael and I don't drink at all. Like, we just don't like that. But there are people that still drink, you know, whether it's like a weekends or whatever, and they enjoy that. But maybe if you know you're going into lovemaking, you won't do that, because you wouldn't want to open up your consciousness to anything that isn't of the light. Mm-hmm. And so you choose not to drink, or you choose not to have that extra piece of bread or that huge heavy meal, and you choose something lighter so that you can be in a pure space for this sacred ceremony. Just like you would if you were going into a plant medicine ceremony, you're like actually coming in with reverence and in honor of what's about to unfold.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Well, let's keep going here. So, personal intentions for the week ahead.
The next thing we do is we share our personal intentions. Obviously, we've shared our core values, which are all over the shop. Like this time, Michael obviously shared like momentum and creativity, but last week it was selfless service, and the week before that it was groundedness. You know, it's like we are.
Wow. It's great memory.
I'm trying, but yeah, and so what we'll do with our personal intentions for the week ahead is we'll expand on, again, what are we personally holding ourselves to, and what are we stepping into. And so for myself, I've been getting this message of going towards what is alive. So less technology, less distractions, less like dead anything, whether it's the relationship that's dead, the conversation that's dead, anything that's dead or not alive, I'm like moving away from that and towards what is alive. So I got to share with Michael, my intention for this week is to be really grounded and really be in nature and move my body and to go towards what is alive and hold myself accountable to that, which has actually been really powerful for
me. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's been helping you be in your feminine as you serve as well, to have that connection to the earth, to have that groundedness, to be connected with your body all throughout the week and throughout your work.
Yeah.
It's been really empowering.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You can also share just any other personal intentions, like if you have children, intentions with the family, intentions with work. Yeah, intentions for your physical body, your self-care, your self-love. Another big intention for me lately and this week was to release body shame and bring love to my body. Mm-hmm. And so just setting an intention is powerful, because what's unfolded this week has been real crazy.
Real deep. Maybe we'll share that with you guys sometime. Maybe that'll stay forever between the two of us.
I'm open. Yeah. It's Cancer season, and it's a really emotional time for me. Mm-hmm. Wow, it's been a big one.
So now we get into the more masculine portion of Sunday service.
Yeah.
Which is reviewing our schedule and our pending times for everything. So you'll walk me through what's on the calendar for your week and let me know especially the big things that I can hold space for. Mm-hmm. And then I'll do the same with you. Mm-hmm. And we can meet in the middle somewhere while we're creating our intentional time to spend time together that week.
Yes, exactly. And then just any like to-dos or tasks or items that we need to complete for our coupleship, for our home, just any, again, like to things that you'd put on a to-do list, That's really important, I think, for any woman especially, because a woman can hold all that information, but she needs to ask for help.
Yeah.
And that's been a huge lesson for me. So for me to bring forward the to-do list and be like, okay, I was always fearful of doing that, by the way, because my mom did that and I did not like the energy of it. I was like, no, like he is not, like your partner is not here to check off your to-do list because you like that done. So that's not the energy it's in. It's more like, no, there are things that we both desire to get done and I can hold it in my head, but Mike, it's good for Michael and both of us to actually communicate that. And then for me to be like, okay, I'll do this. Which one do you want to do?
Yep.
And we'll just say like there are also things that Michael likes doing that I hate doing and vice versa. So we just will kind of address those little things.
Yeah. So obviously the come from matters. If you're coming towards just addressing the family needs, it's one thing. If you're coming from stress, it's a different thing, right? But for me, I used to think of a to-do list as a disempowering thing. Like now all of a sudden I have less freedom than I had before. But now I see it differently in the sense like I know directly because it's right in front of me on a list how I can best serve our family. And I also know that I won't forget those things because I am more linear focused, usually one thing at a time, even if it's one thing for 5 minutes, one thing for 10 minutes, one thing for 2 hours.
Yeah.
It's always one thing at a time. So I feel empowered by having a list of things that I'm accountable for.
Yeah.
So that I don't forget.
And, I love it.
You know, who doesn't love putting that check mark?
You're so cute with your check
next
mark.
It's like, to
check. Yeah. Check.
Complete. Yeah. I like that.
It's awesome. Michael's a manifesting generator, and I'm a manifester, so in human design. So that's also important to know about your partner when going through like to-do lists, I think. That way you're not like if you are, you know, your husband is, you know, a projector. And you're wondering why, I was actually hearing of this one couple. It was Richard Rudd was talking about his wife. And he was like, my wife is like a doer. And I'm just like a more lay in the hammock, kind of observe the garden kind of guy. And so that's good to acknowledge. Mm-hmm. Like we all have different ways of being and ways of moving our energy.
Yeah.
So
living by our design instead of making it wrong.
Exactly. Okay, so we do now list out at least 3 times for intentional connection with each other for the upcoming week, and we list out the days and times. But what we love to do now is we list something new.
Mm-hmm.
We want to list something new because we live on an island, and you can get to the point where you feel like you've done everything that's possible on the island, but that's not true.
Seen everybody, talked to everyone, eaten at every restaurant.
Gone to every beach, but that's like not even true.
No,
at all.
Not close.
We've just stayed in our parameter because
it's a trap.
To go to the beach is like an hour, you know, like to go to a new one is like an hour on the other side, but like why not, you know, on a Saturday afternoon, you know, why not do something new to change up the energy and keep things fresh in the relationship and in our life.
Have a sense of adventure as well.
Yeah.
And that's been key for us through COVID because a lot of times we're traveling. And traveling is where we're checking off our adventurousness.
Yes,
know?
Exactly. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think this is a really important part of Sunday service for any sacred like couple or any couple to like think of it of what are we going to do to play together, which we'll talk about because we actually have that list on the list. We have that question on the list. But to say like what's something new we are going to do this week. And so then maybe you schedule in a bike ride or a different kind of adventure, just something totally out of the box, or I don't know, if a pottery class or a cooking class together, just something that you both would be interested in.
You probably wouldn't normally do otherwise.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also if you're interested in different things, maybe you can swap like, hey, like if Michael was like, I really want to go to this farm and I want to check out like, yeah, I want to go to this bee farm and check it out. Then I could do that with him, even though it's like not my favorite thing. I'm going to be like, yeah, let's do it. And then the next week I could say something that I like and I'm like, okay, now you can do this with me.
Well, what's your example?
I don't know.
I got the bee farm.
I know.
What's yours?
I was,
hey, I want to go stare at bees. will you come stare at bees with me for 8 hours?
You just love exploring like permaculture and all of that.
Regenerative agriculture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you could even ask me to like garden with you. And I mean, that would one, like I could be like, no, I don't want to do that. Yeah. But if you were like, so you know,
you better get out here and harvest the spinach.
Yeah. You're like, this is really important to me. I'd be like, okay, let's do it. Mm-hmm. I can't think of an idea right now for myself because you kind of like all the things I like.
Okay.
Well, fair. Like yesterday I did the dancing ceremony with Lindsay and you were like, that's for girls. I'm not going. But I could be like, hey, I want to go to a dance class with you. And you'd probably be like, fuck yeah, let's do it.
I would love to do that.
Yeah, cool.
Great example.
So the next thing, we don't want to run over time here, but the next thing other than scheduling in the three times is really talking about our contribution for the week ahead, but we call it our co-contribution. So we'll ask, how can we contribute to our home this week? Mm-hmm. So as, you know, in any family, the home needs to be clean, taken care of, managed, maintained. So what we'll do is we'll look at like a room that we can focus on and organize just to bring some love, even if it's just 30 minutes that week.
Yeah.
Bring some love to the home.
And for us, that's so important because we spend most of our time in this home. So if the energy gets stagnant in any particular room, that's going to be reflected through us.
Yes. And that's just an example of like the organization, but how can we contribute to our home as a couple this week so that we know that, again, we're investing energy into something that Michael said we spend a lot of time in and that we're nurturing all these different aspects of our life. And furthermore, nurturing what we've been blessed with, you know, that we're not taking it for granted and just, oh, we'll do that later, procrastination, whatever. It's like, no, like we said, we're going to nurture the home like this. And so we stick to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. Then how can we contribute to our mission, aka like our co-creation in the world? So it might be like, hey, we're going to record a podcast episode, or we're going to hold a cacao ceremony for Kapu family, or we're going to create a program together.
For couples.
For couples, which is coming. And then, yeah, like we'll just talk about what's a way that we can both contribute to our mission, which our mission is to restore the heart into relationships, business, sexuality, sex life, all things, the planet. Then we'll say, how will we nurture play? Like the energy of play. How can we nurture the energy of play in our life? Because we're, you know, maybe our age is getting older, but we want to stay youthful and alive and connected to playfulness.
We're going backwards in spirit.
Yes. So we'll do something like playful, you know, like what's something that most... Yeah, I don't know. It just, you think of it and it'll come if that's your intention. The next one, how can we contribute to our community and our loved ones? That's really big.
This is where we think about our personal relationships, our one-on-one relationship we have with our family, a one-on-one relationship we have with our friends, our community that we're responsible for. Kapu, we created a community where people could come together and share their hearts. So how could we nourish what we've created rather than just creating it and walk away?
Yes. Exactly. This is really good accountability because obviously you can't be in communication with everyone at the same time. Mm-hmm. But if you ask like, how can I contribute to my community and my loved ones? And you really sit with that, then you know, again, like what is it, where is it that you want to invest your energy in this week? And just share your love, share your connection and be in communication with someone or a community of people. And that could be in person or online, depending on your situation.
This is such a good one. How can we contribute to ourselves? So this is how we're going to nourish ourselves this week. So just like we have to nourish our union in order to be able to serve or serve in a powerful way, we also have to nourish ourselves. So we have to eat right. We have to take care of our bodies. We have to move our bodies. A lot of times this is about the physical body for us.
Yes.
So do you want to say anything about that?
No, that's just, how can we contribute to ourselves? So we'll literally say, I'll tell Michael, like, I've scheduled in this Pilates class or this exercise class. I'm going to go outside every single day. Each morning before I go in technology, I'm going to meditate. I haven't said that in a while because I typically like to, like, be on Eastern Standard Time. But that's a different story. So the next thing.
Booking massages.
Ooh,
it's a good one.
That's a really good one.
Getting massage on Wednesday.
Booking in a healing session. We're always interested in our personal growth.
Right.
So we have people in our lives to hold us accountable.
Gratefully, we're surrounded by healers. So we actually have people in our immediate environment that we can ask for help. And so this is a powerful place where we can look and see like, okay, is there anything we're working on right now that we can call upon mm-hmm. one of our community members to contribute to us
yeah.
that we can ask for help for. And that might be our physical body. That might be something that we're working through emotionally and spiritually. Mm. Can be anything.
Yes. I love this. It's just an opportunity for you to look at what is something I haven't put a lot of energy into? What area of life can I up-level or grow into? Have I put a glass ceiling on a certain area of my life? Whether it's in relationship to my sexuality, to money, to business, to my creativity, to my service, to the way I show up in relationships, intimacy, all of the things. And so looking at, okay, how am I going to contribute to growing that? Am I going to invest in a program, in a person, in just contemplating it each day, mm-hmm. in journaling, or even just having a conversation with someone about it? And lastly, we just share anything else on our hearts, and we always come up with a joint word of the week if it's there. And sometimes it's just like natural and it just mm-hmm. comes through.
Yeah, there's one word that really pops.
Yeah. So that is what we call Sunday service. It's good. I'm going to just put all of this in the show notes so that you can literally have this in your notes and take this into your union or even with yourself mm-hmm. and you can make it your own. You can add questions, take things away, but we'd also love to hear how this impacts your life, how this impacts you and what shifts for you when you lean into this.
Well, that's the only other piece I want to add to this, so I know we're over the hour mark, so we'll wrap this up. But I also just want to know, how has Sunday service contributed to you from your perspective? How have you been mostly impacted by it?
Mm. Boom. Thanks, V. Love this.
No, I'm asking you.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were asking them.
No.
I'm like, bye. You're like, great question.
No, you can say it simply, but I'm definitely asking
you. How has it impacted me?
Yeah, oh, how, like, what's the maybe one way that it's contributed to you the most?
It's given me permission to be honest mm-hmm. with you, with myself. It's brought accountability into my life, which I love. I feel like it's so juicy. Mm. And it's honestly just made our home life flow mm-hmm. so much easier. Because I used to get so overwhelmed and stressed out about all the things that I think need to be done. And now because we have this time together, it's like, no, like we already talked about this. We know what you're doing. We know what I'm doing. And then there's just nothing but like love in this space because we've had that communication.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's allowed me to relax and trust.
Mm. I love that. Thank you for sharing.
What about for you?
For me, it's been... it's just created such a solid foundation on a week-to-week basis to serve from. So you said the word permission. And for me, it's been similar. It's like, okay, we are so solid together. So that is the permission you need to like really get out there and go do it. You know, mm-hmm. get out there and serve. Get out there and create. Get out there and share your light with the world. And then just know like that. The home life, I just get to know that our home life is so solid, right? So I don't have to be out in the world serving, worrying about something that's going on behind the scenes because yeah. behind the scenes is so clean. It's so connected. It's so grounded. It's like the roots that, for me, Sunday service feels like the roots that everything else kind of sprouts from.
Ooh, that's good.
Mm-hmm. We love you guys. Thank you so much for listening, for putting up with us. Wink, wink. And we will be back in however much time with the next topic.
Love you guys. Bye.
Bye.